Oh, Marvel fans, what do MODOK, Howard the Duck, Hitmonkey, Tigra and Dazzler all have in common? They're all getting television series. That's not a joke. That's a real thing that's happening in the world. We'll talk about that, including who is going to be producing those shows, some new Captain Marvel stuff that came out, some potential Wolverine casting rumors, all that and more on today's Marvel Movie News.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Marvel Movie News.
Hey, good afternoon to you, our merry Marvelites. How's everyone doing today?
Hey, really excited.
I'm more excited.
Lies.
It's not a competition.
I win.
Hey, guys, welcome. We are coming to you live from the Agents of MODOK mobile base.
Yes.
This week. I guess we could have been coming from another dimension. A dimension different from this one. I forget exactly how the Howard the Duck.
Oh, it's trapped in a world he never made.
That's
so,
what
yes,
it was.
We're coming to you live from a world we never made.
This is the Marvel Movie News, bringing to you all of the latest headlines from the world of Marvel. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram, or just Twitter, at Marvel News PTN, or follow the network, Popcorn Talk, at The Popcorn Talk. Subscribe to us wherever you happen to be listening to us. Hit those likes, those thumbs up, those subscribe buttons. All that's important. I'm Zach Wilson. Zia Anderson's back with us.
Yay!
Christian Blatt's here.
Hi, everybody.
Oh, we've got some fun stuff to talk about. And it is actually somewhat of a, like, other than, like, the one major story, which we're going to talk about, like, the big Hulu deal that just came through, we actually have some time at the end of the show, and I want to make sure, and this is going to be a regular, like, we're going to be doing this a lot more often, to get your questions from you guys who are joining us live in the chat or on Twitter. So send us your questions now. You can tweet them to us at Marvel News PTN, or just put them in the chat, and Christian will be pulling them throughout the show. And then at the end of the show, we're going to be talking about what you guys want to know or what you have questions about in the Marvel Universe, which I imagine might come down to who in the hell is Hitmonkey? but we're going to talk about all of that stuff towards the end of the show. But let's dive in today to the show without forgetting to thank our engineer, Ma Rissa.
Yes.
In the chat.
Hello, everybody.
The list, Marissa.
And Colt Badeau, who's tweeting for us from the Star Jammer. Thank you, Colt. Let's talk about Captain Marvel, you guys. This is, there's two quick stories. First, let's talk about, this was like almost like a non-story.
Yeah.
But it was interesting enough to bring up this week. Brie Larson and Kevin Feige both agreed that they didn't ever think about bringing the quote-unquote bathing suit costume to the screen, which, Marissa, if you want to throw that up on the screen, I pulled one image of it, and this is a conservative angle of this costume,
hey,
I will
look,
say.
I think that she would get a lot more freedom of range of motion and movement and, like, freedom to kick some butt in that costume.
So we're looking at the Miss Marvel.
Yeah, but to be fair, that costume is great. The one that they never should have ever considered is the one where you see her belly button. If we can get the Ms. Marvel number one from the 70s, that one should never be on film.
I didn't even want to necessarily put that one on.
I'm sorry. I think for our viewers on YouTube, they need to really understand what should not be put into a movie. Because this one, yeah, it's a one-piece bathing suit, but that's essentially a bikini.
Yeah.
You know, the one that I'm talking about. I'm sorry. I'm just disappointed because
fair
of
enough.
How much I love / hate this costume. Because if you read Ms. Marvel number one.
It's getting pulled up.
If you read Ms. Marvel number one, you're like, wait, this is supposed to be like an empowered independent woman. But,
hey, you can be an empowered independent woman and show as much skin as you want.
Yeah,
thank
but
you.
if you read her dialogue, you'll be like, what
so
is
much.
This? Yeah. Yeah. So I think the fact that they're going Captain Marvel and not Ms. Marvel is great. Because this is basically like, what if we took Captain Marvel's costume and put it on a lady so that we could see her belly button?
Yeah, it's sort of like she lost the bottom half in battle and then was like, I'll go with this now. Yeah, but so that won't be appearing. If there was a reason ever for her to, like, I would love to see a Jessica Jones style Jewel moment where we see the costume, like, but not see the costume.
Like, she shows it and she's like, uh-uh.
Yeah, or like,
it down.
If there like, if there was an inappropriately gratuitous volleyball scene,
yeah,
and she's in the lightning
ball. Like how we saw Luke Cage in the 70s Luke Cage outfit for like a second.
I feel like I need to clarify, that was a Top Gun joke.
Oh, yeah.
Not like me asking for something like horrifying in a movie.
It was
about
was
female empowerment.
I get it.
Specific Tom Cruise reference, Val Kilmer, sweaty for no reason.
Shirtless and sweaty.
Watch Top Gun. More Captain Marvel stuff. This one was super fun. I didn't even pull an image because you need to see it for yourself to believe it. Go to, and like, I just want you all to experience this. If you haven't already, go to marvel.com/Captain Marvel. And if you were on the internet in the 90s, which somebody was like, that wasn't that long ago. I'm like, dude, there are people who were definitely not on the internet in the 90s that are adults.
Yeah.
Adults were not even alive in the 90s. It bothers me. Anyway.
It's crazy. No, you're right. It's insane.
You get on my lawn, kids. but go to marvel.com/Captain Marvel, and it is a beautiful 90s treasure trove of Angel Fire and GeoCities.
So much nostalgia on one page. I played the game. I did not do well.
Yeah.
I think I only got like two wrong, even though there's literally zero you have to go on. It's a pure chance.
My favorite, there's so many things to isolate on this image, but my favorite thing is the hit counter, because every website used to let you know, like, you're the 6,000th person that's been there.
Yeah. No, I noticed that too. It was beautiful. There's a little game where you can play Skrulls Are Human, guest book, which was immediately filled. Oh, it's so good. Check it out. All right, keep going through the news. Eternals is set to start filming in August, which is crazy to think about. The Eternals.
That's
the Eternals movie is going to be filming this year.
That's something I'm not super familiar with. So I did a little bit of research and it sounds really interesting. I'm excited now.
If you haven't yet, we talked about it. This was when it was me and Amy, but we talked about the Eternals, and like, I would highly recommend, if you want to get like a quick, like, oh, who are they? Like, I want to know. Real Neil Gaiman's run.
Okay.
On the Eternals. It's like, it introduces, it's not like the first thing, but it introduces you enough to like what's going on, because there's like, there's a memory wipe thing. It's probably going to be used, like, this is the general consensus, it probably will end up being like the basis for the movie, mm-hmm. because it is so easy to jump into, and it like doesn't ignore the past of the characters, but also doesn't need you to have all that information.
So it's perfect to kind of base the first movie on.
Yeah, but these are like immortal beings who have been on Earth forever, and like, they are connected to one of the giant guys.
The century.
Oh.
I'm so mad at myself.
I know.
Because you and I talked about this like a month ago, and I knew what they were.
How did we both blank on the same word?
I'm 43. That's my excuse.
You're so... it's the head of a celestial.
Celestial.
Celestial. Okay. I got it. You I got there it. Eventually, yeah. guys. The Celestials are, the Eternals are like soldiers of the Celestials.
And they're like sort of their own race, right? That was,
yes.
That, I guess evolved alongside of humans.
Yeah, they're separate. Like they were created by the Celestials. That's the thing. So like, they look human. They sound human. Like they interact with, they live amongst humans, but they're not human. They all have powers.
Mm.
It's another set of beings with each one has like their own specific superpower. It was just in the era of like early comics, it was just like, all right, well, here's a new super team and here's the slightly different origin story that we've come up with. It's in humans, it's X-Men, it's Eternals, it's any other group you want to put in there. But Eternals is getting a movie. So we'll see whether we get some of them referenced in, there's rumors that we might see them in Endgame. The original rumors are that we were going to see them at the end of Guardians Volume 3, but now that's on the shelf, so it's not going to happen there. So whether we get them somewhere, maybe it's the end of Doctor Strange to tease into Eternals. But if this is true, it sounds like they'll be filming before Doctor Strange.
That would make sense.
Which would imply a release, because Doctor Strange has hired a director and a writer, but they haven't announced filming yet.
I was just trying to think of, like, I don't know where they are on the, you know, I mean, we used to know what the slate was like for the next like couple years here. The
well, no one knows. Yeah. I think there are people like in Marvel and is like who just don't know. Like it, this is like Kevin Feige is like the one who knows what, like, other than Spider-Man, because that's Sony and Sony doesn't like to play nice.
Yeah.
We don't know what any of the other movies officially are, or when they're coming, or what order they're coming in. Like, we know obviously they're making a Doctor Strange 2. They had to hire people. They're making the Eternals, although that's not connected, so that's fine. They're gonna make a Black Panther 2, but we don't know any of the details because, like, or when that's gonna happen. For all we know, it could be ready to go.
They've already done it, and they've just been sitting on it this entire time.
Well, it could just be, like, where it's at script phase, and they're just waiting to start filming.
But there could be shooting scripts for, like, 5 movies, you know, that might go through a little bit of retooling with the director. But, yeah, they could be that far along.
I mean, they probably have directors going, like, prepping, like, maybe even storyboarding, but just very quietly in dark rooms where, like, you have to have 3 keys to get out of them. Your phones are blocked by the walls, you know, all that stuff.
So secretive.
That's how I picture the inside of Marvel right now.
You're probably right.
Endgame airs or reaches theaters. All right, let's keep going through because we could speculate about Marvel secrecy all day. Over on the Fox side with Dark Phoenix news, Olivia Munn confirms that Psylocke will not be in Dark Phoenix.
Yes.
And she hints that they were at least going to do a second movie.
Yeah, she got in trouble for alluding to the fact that, like, well, you know, I'm not in this one because I was busy, and she alluded to the fact that, like, she would be in the next one, but...
She got sent a letter? Is that what it was?
Yes, I think that's what she said. Just strung it. Dear madam, we would appreciate you not giving away our timeline for our films.
It's fine. That movie's never going to happen anyway.
The second one?
The second one.
I think that we would have to get so surprised by the box office on the first one. Yeah. But they also probably aren't planning on a second
one. unless it was a $1.5 billion movie somehow, and it was critically acclaimed, I think that X-Men franchise is dead in the water post Disney deal. And there's still stuff holding that deal up entirely.
Yeah.
I think Brazil is holding it up right now. Wow. There's some regulatory stuff in Brazil. It's because these are worldwide companies.
Sure, yeah.
So every country has to approve it according to their, like...
Guidelines.
Their guidelines and their trade deals. Because effectively, in certain markets, this could end up being an entertainment monopoly in a lot of ways.
I mean, some would say that we live in one of those markets where it would be an entertainment monopoly.
Yes. You know? I mean, there are still other companies that are close to as big, but this is a major homogenization of all of those companies. But
let me throw in a quick comment from Gamer Girl. Good. Yeah. Psylocke wasn't that great.
But I like Olivia Munn. That's the part that's disappointing. And that movie just didn't let her do much.
Yeah, I like that character. I do like Olivia Munn, and I was kind of hoping, like, all right, maybe we'll get her in another movie, and they'll, you know, use her right. So
yeah. But that's really it for movie news this week. There's not a ton. Like, we could talk about, like, really minutia stuff, but I figured it would be more fun to spend time talking about that crazy Hulu deal. So we're gonna go real quick and just get right into Marvel TV time.
Marvel movie news. We're talking TV time.
Okay. This is the big story of the week. Hulu has made a deal with Disney for 4 animated series that will be coming to the networks, plus a 5th one as a special team up of all of those. Here are the names of the series that we're getting. Howard the Duck.
Yes!
Which will be written by Kevin Smith.
I can't imagine anything more perfect.
As in,
than that,
as
by
in
the way.
Clerks, ah! Mallrats, Jay and Silent Bob, yeah. Kevin Smith.
That's exciting.
Will be doing Howard the Duck,
and a guy who's written a lot of comics in his own right. I mean, he's written Daredevil series, he's written Batman. You know, he's not just a fan. He's somebody who's actually, you know, played with these characters, not on the screen before, but that'll be great.
Yeah, number two on that list, MODOK. And yes, Marissa, that is MODOK.
Everybody knows MODOK. How could you even ask?
I just feel with MODOK, no, I feel the need to clarify.
No, I'm completely kidding.
MODOK.
No, he was actually in the Iron Man cartoon series, I think back in the 90s, right?
He's been in a lot of the animated shows in different ways. But so MODOK, which will be written by and voiced by Patton Oswalt.
Amazing.
Yes.
What is this world?
So perfect.
Then we have, then the title of this one is something that we're going to talk about specifically. The title is Marvel's Dazzler and Tigra Show.
Yes.
The whole, that's the title on, according to Hulu. Dazzler of the X-Men and Tigra, who was an Avenger at one point.
An Avenger, like, a West Coast Avenger. Yeah. She's gotten around. Yeah.
Their show is together, and that's going to be written by Chelsea Handler.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. This is awesome. The craziest lineup of people ever.
Yeah.
Like, what's happening? And then the fourth one, and we're going to go back through all these.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
I've got little annotations for two of those shows.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. I was just letting you give the big overview. And I'm not going to pretend I know anything about this one. This one is
the fourth
a surprise.
One
I had to look this up.
Is...
Yeah.
Hit Monkey. Let me say that again. Hit Monkey is getting his own television series.
Finally.
this is a crazy character. And I actually don't know who, because it wasn't a big name, like a huge name, the same way that the other ones were. Who will be running Hit Monkey? But who? Christian, did you get cast?
That
who?
One I don't have. I'm actually trying to get the names of everybody lined up for when we go back around. But
Josh Gordon and Will Speck.
Okay.
They've done like some bigger name things. You may not like know them offhand, but they did Blades of Glory, Office Christmas Party. As they were the directors, but they'll be writing and executive producing Hit Monkey. What is this world? All right, so let's go through these. Let's start right back at the top with Howard the Duck.
I know, Christian, you're so excited about this. You were the first person I thought of when I read that. I was like, oh, Christian's going to be so excited.
Thank you, I think. No, I was very excited about this because, and I think, I don't even know if Zach and I talked about it on a show or just conversationally. When we saw Howard the Duck in Guardians, I was just like, it's all I needed. I just need him to get his due because it's a character that obviously... didn't get his due.
Mean they didn't in the 1986 movie?
No. By the way, it was considered the worst movie made at that. It wasn't even close. I mean, Ishtar was made the next year, just for an example. But Leah Thompson is adorable in it. And
she's great in everything.
I think, I don't know, I think it's okay. Let's put it that way. For an 80s action sci-fi movie, they are way worse. And I do love that character, though.
Fair point.
You're absolutely right.
Howard the Duck,
yes.
For those who may not be familiar with his like backstory, comes from another universe where it's like all animal creatures. Is it all ducks?
I think it's all animal creatures. It's called Duck World.
It's all ducks. So,
yeah,
it
yeah.
is Duck World.
But they have like,
but I'm confused.
Arms
I'm,
and legs.
I'm blending his world with Spider Hams.
Yes, Spider Hams is not all pigs.
Different
yeah.
reality.
Wow. By the way, I don't want to derail us too much, but Howard the Duck Spider Ham movie? Yes, please.
That would be really fun, actually.
So Howard the Duck comes over here and he becomes a private detective.
Of course he does.
Yeah, I really love the recent Chip Zdarsky run that they did, where he like has an office like next to She-Hulk, and he's just solving like various like superhero crimes. He gets like a reluctant like partner slash like sidekick, this young woman who's just like helping him out on like crimes.
Is that the one where she's sometimes his girlfriend and sometimes not, or is that a different iteration?
This is a different person that
okay.
I'm talking about.
Got it.
But. Yeah, so, like, and Howard the Duck is a dirty character, too. Like, that's the thing. It's like, it looks like it would be like, oh, this... Oh, we should say that. These are all being labeled as adult animated shows.
Yes.
These are not for kids. These are all going to be animated shows for adults. Now, I'm sure just them being animated, they're not going to go too... I don't know. Actually, I say that. But with this lineup of creators... So Kevin Smith
running
Howard the Duck show. Like Kevin Smith, I think, has shown that he is capable of doing stuff for a younger audience.
Yeah, I mean, he did a TV series of Clerks that was for the ABC network. So
that was not for children. I watched that as a child.
But he can definitely, you know, veer a little cleaner is my point. You know what I mean? It's possible. But
he works so well not being.
I'm talking PG-13, by the way.
But what I mean
is
that
it doesn't have to be R-rated.
He also is a regular director for the CW superhero shows.
True, he does the Flash.
So, like, he doesn't have to go all dirty, but... He is great when he gets into, like, that weird stuff about sex and about growing up and, like, just about, like, interactions between, like, people and how weird it gets. So with Howard the Duck as a character, I hope that he goes back to those, like, Clerks, Mallrats influences and gives us, like, that adult Howard the Duck.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely my preference. That's how I like the character, and that's how I want to see him used.
Like a Howard the Duck that drinks.
Yeah, for
Kevin... an alcoholic Howard the Duck that's swearing and drinking.
Yeah, for...
Yeah, I like
but
that.
That's the character. That's the thing. Like,
yeah.
The
perfect.
I wonder if we'll get Seth Green.
I mean, he's proven that he is excellent at doing animated voices for, you know, only like 20 years. So, yeah, I would hope that he'd at least be interested. You know, this show might not be able to afford to pay him at this point in his career.
I mean, Hulu and Disney. So here's the other thing. Like, as we like go through these, I'm going to have a bunch of tangents. But like this says a bunch of things to me that like. I think everyone should consider because everyone's freaking out about Disney Plus right
sure.
now. And like, oh, everything's going to be on Disney Plus. Like, and Disney Plus is PG-13. So we're never going to get the adult side of this stuff right here. This is Disney showing us that we are going to get the adult versions of these properties.
Which is great because they own, what, 60% of Hulu right now?
They will post-Fox merger. They will own 60% of Hulu. And I think that, and like this is what we've talked about, that Hulu is going to become the place where Marvel's adult content is going to wind up. Or just any of the Disney adult content is going to wind up because it's not in their safe zone, which is what Disney Plus is going to be,
right?
But it's still their territory.
Well, and I think, and you're probably going to get to this later, so I won't go too much into it, but they're also Hulu is even saying that they're open to bringing back shows the
yes.
Netflix. Yeah,
that is on our rundown.
Okay,
but
so
yes,
gonna...
so there is, and we'll talk more about that. But there is, like, Hulu at least is interested,
which
exciting. Makes sense because they're like, hey, Dad, we'll totally use your other toys if you're not still using them.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Like, cousin Netflix is done playing with those toys. Can we have them, Dad?
Yeah, I mean, I have a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old. If the 1-year-old goes for something, even if the 3-year-old hasn't touched it in months, all of a sudden it's like, no, I still need this. So, so if there's interest in these things, all of a sudden it'd be like, you know what, we're gonna think about this.
Yeah,
All
of a sudden Netflix is like, actually,
we haven't canceled The Punisher and
Jessica Jones.
Just yet.
That's
so.
True. They haven't. That like, there's no news there, but like, they haven't canceled it. Anyway,
yeah,
back to these Hulu shows.
Yes.
So yeah, Howard the Duck looks like a lot of fun. MODOK.
Wait, let me just throw in David Willis, who co-created Aqua Teen Hunger Force, is also doing Howard the Duck.
Love Aqua Teen Hunger
Force.
So
if there was ever, you know, I mean, it's not like, I don't know. It's, I guess the only thing that could be better is maybe Dan Harmon. But I'm so excited that these two are going to work together on this project.
Yeah, but if it's Dan Harmon, you're going to have 2 years between seasons,
while
he's doing Rick and Morty.
That's absolutely true.
Which, like, I have no problem with. Like, I'd rather have to wait for quality. But this is good because then, like, putting Kevin Smith with a seasoned animation guy.
Yeah.
And not just like, oh, I did Clerks the cartoon and Jay and Silent Bob's groovy cartoon movie.
I did see that. I forgot about it. Yeah.
But so keep going through these things.
Yes.
MODOK is going to be written and produced by Jordan Bloom. And Patton Oswalt. Jordan Bloom, who's done Community and some of American Dad.
Yes, and I will let you know right here, he would definitely be interested in coming on this show at some point because he's a friend of a friend.
All right. Well, stay tuned for that.
Yeah. I'm just letting you know.
Yeah. But so MODOK, if you're not as familiar with MODOK, giant head, tiny little arms and legs, you know, rocket powered chair, the experiment that became the leader of AIM, the Advanced Idea Mechanics, and just the craziest looking character in probably all of Marvel.
And I actually remember him from the cartoons. And I think
if you saw him as a kid, then
he scared me.
And of course, the mechanized organism designed only for killing.
Yes.
That's MODOK.
Doesn't the K stand for different things?
It's like SHIELD stands for different things at different time in its history. So I think that they might have. Yeah, so they probably, for kids, changed the K to catering or something.
They have done that for kids' things. I don't know specifically for catering.
No, I hope not.
But I think they've done, like, computing or something, like...
Carpentry. Let us know in the chat what you think the K should stand for in MODOK.
But this is for adults, it's going to be for killing. So this is the one of these that is going to be starring a villain, which is really interesting. And I'm curious what version of the character they're going to go with. If we're going to, like, go into, like, one of the weird, like, MODOK worlds that has existed at different times, where... Like, because there have been times where you've taken MODOK and then there's, like, a whole... This is, I remember specifically from Secret Wars a few years ago. They had, like, one land that was just all MODOKs.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there was a Spider-Man MODOK. So it's basically a giant head of Spider-Man with tiny little arms.
And he could still swing around and stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
It's so ridiculous. Like, so MODOK's a fun character because he's so silly, and when you embrace the silliness... You get stuff like, I specifically remember from the Gwenpool recently. Did you guys read Gwenpool?
I didn't read it, and it's definitely on the list of, like, I definitely want to dive into that because it's such a cool idea.
I highly recommend Gwenpool in general. Gwenpool, not although it was inspired by the whole Spider-Gwen train, nothing to do with Gwen Stacy. This Gwen is somebody from our reality who gets trapped in comics and knows comics. Like, she knows all of the tropes and who all these people are.
What?
Like, she's a comic book reader who gets trapped inside the Marvel universe and uses that knowledge to help her, like, basically, like, become a mercenary. So she has, like, a pink, like, Deadpool-esque costume, but she's breaking the fourth wall constantly, like a la Deadpool, thus Gwenpool.
Yeah.
It's very fun, very silly.
I wonder if that's on Marvel Unlimited.
Definitely some of them are.
Yeah, nice.
I don't know the entire run, but at least a couple volumes can check out, because it's been out for a while. But she interacts with MODOK at one point, like, because he's got Agents of MODOK, where he's basically a mercenary villain at that point. He's not working with AIM any longer.
Right.
And he has random little, like, superhero mercenaries that he sends out to do bidding and, like, for clients and stuff. Like, he's for hire. You can hire the Agents of MODOK. So I would love to see that version. I think that could be a lot of fun. Is there anything that you guys really want to see from this, what will inevitably be the most silly version of MODOK we've ever seen?
I mean, I would like the show to deal with superhero concepts and a reality, but I've always wondered about MODOK, just some of his day-to-day, like getting dressed, you know? Like, I have to put socks on now. Great, I want to see that. And I think that when you're working on a character like MODOK, you realize, like, oh, yeah, let's answer all those questions that people have had for, I don't know, 60 years ever since he was introduced. So that's right where I'm starting from with MODOK.
I'm just excited to see anything that they have because I really only remember him from the cartoons. And so I'm just wherever they want to go with it.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. But you're right, Christian. I would love to see this, like, I would love to see MODOK just trying to put on his underwear.
Yeah. Look, I don't want to take it this far, but he's going to have to go to the bathroom at some point, right? I'm just going to say it, right? That's what I was trying not to say.
Hey, look,
but
it's for adult content, yeah. So, I mean, they could show us something like
imagine
that.
Imagine MODOK in the stall next to you, you know? Little help, you know? He just needs some toilet paper, and you, yeah. So there's
you
so much to do.
You can't even see his legs. They're just kicking on the toilet.
Oh, boy. All right. Still moving through this stuff. Let's talk about Tigra and Dazzler show.
Kind of really excited.
The Dazzler,
about
Marvel's Dazzler and Tigra show. So I think, like, I feel like the fact that they called it show,
yeah,
implies something very specific. Like, if that's the title, and it's not because they didn't say untitled show,
yeah,
that they put that into the press release. Like, that's the title that you're gonna get. So I think we're getting Dazzler and Tigra doing like some kind of late night show.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Especially because you have Chelsea Handler involved.
Yes. Yeah,
who's
that makes
like
sense.
Her main, like, she's a comedian and like she's got a very distinct voice, and like maybe that's what they're just going in that direction with these characters. But you have two female leads in a show with Chelsea Handler as one of the creative voices behind it, and you have the word show in your title. How? And you have Dazzler, who is a performer, like an
right.
X-Men who, just for anybody who's not familiar with Dazzler, like, can control light and uses it for, because she's a singer, and uses it to make amazing effects during her shows.
Yes. When she was introduced, she was a disco superstar.
Yes. What
70s.
If it's a Dazzler gets a late night talk show produced by Tigra?
Or she's the Paul Schaefer to Tigra the host. You know, she's the house band. So
that could be funny. In my mind, I want to see Tigra, the showrunner.
I love that idea. like she's got her hair up, she's wearing glasses, and she's just like really poring over things. And then this show, the writer, you know, assigned to it, the hands-on, is a woman named Erica Rivenoia, whom I've known for 20 years. And amongst her many, many credits, she worked on South Park a few different stints. So that'll just tell you a little bit about the sensibility that would come to this show.
I'm liking this version of the Dazzler that they're showing, or of the Dazzler, of Dazzler that they're showing here.
That's the Dazzler number one from a few months ago.
That's so
they,
cool.
Yeah. They've definitely, there have been a few reinventions of Dazzler.
I've seen a few.
So,
yeah.
I think that this one's interesting. I actually bought that number one, and I don't know. I like to see what they're doing. I always like to see what they're doing with Dazzler, because I always like the character.
I'd really love to see them hire some really strong musical talent for this show and give us like some new pop hits from Dazzler.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Like the way that we got, and this was like a fan thing, but they made Face It, somebody wrote Face It Tiger from the Spider-Gwen universe that like Gwen's band, the Mary Janes, formed. So you have this song that's from the comic book universe that you can just listen to. And
that's amazing.
That was a fan thing, but it's so brilliant that like Marvel started tweeting it out because it was so good. I want that from Dazzler. I want to be listening.
Agree.
I want to be queuing up Dazzler's hits on my iPhone.
That's kind of what I thought when they, you know, the Dazzler and Tigra show, that it was going to be like a musical thing.
Oh,
I totally thought that.
What if it's like
it's like a variety show?
No, yeah. It's them. What if it's them on tour?
Oh, yeah.
Or what if they're just, you know, they come to Hollywood to try and make it. You know, it's like early in her career. It's before she's Dazzler.
They're living in a crappy apartment together.
Oh my God.
Going on auditions all the time.
Tigra's on the West Coast Avengers, but she needs a roommate because rents in LA are terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. Hawkeye won't let her live at the compound, the West Coast Avengers compound. She's got to get a roommate.
Oh my God. And her roommate is Dazzler, yeah, who's constantly going out on auditions. Oh my God. Whatever. Well, please, somebody take these. I want to see all of these versions of the show. So ridiculous.
Just start writing our own.
Yes, please. So that's a lot of fun. I am looking forward to what Tigra and Dazzler could do. But that's not even, somehow, that's not the most ridiculous show in this list.
No, any one of those three could have taken the cake as most ridiculous show on a different announcement.
Not until this one.
But we're getting Hitmonkey, the series.
I seriously, when I saw Hit, because all of these names I've seen before, and I know the character, I at least somewhat know the character. When I saw Hitmonkey, I was like, what the hell is Hitmonkey?
I've heard of Hitmonkey. Like, I've seen the name pop up, but like, I wasn't like, I mean, I can't claim to be a Hitmonkey fan, but I can tell you the origin story at least, because I've read
Please
his
do.
Origin story.
Yeah.
So in 2009 they published like this like Hitmonkey origin story, and I still have to go read the whole like mini series that they put out in 2010. But like the origin story, there's an assassin, and he's being hunted down, and he's like just a kick ass like assassin, and he's being hunted, and he runs into the Arctic mountains, and he's hiding, and he almost dies, but this little tribe of monkeys rescues him and like puts him in their hot spring and like nurses him back to life, and he's like trying to regain his strength so he can go, but there's only one monkey in the group who doesn't trust this guy, who's like this. He's trying to tell the other monkeys, I swear to God, this is real.
I know.
He's trying to tell the other monkeys, like, this guy will bring bad things. Like, he needs to go. We have to get rid of him. But nobody else will listen. They're good monkeys. They want to help this person who is stranded and dying. And the assassin knows that there are people that are going to try to come to kill him because there's a huge bounty on his head. So he starts training in the snow, like building like little men to like tries chopping their heads off. And like he doesn't have enough guns, so he has to like try kung fu. And the monkey who doesn't trust him watches him and learns a little bit about how to be an assassin. So when people show up to kill the original assassin, and they do,
and all the monkeys,
and they kill all the monkeys,
yeah,
in the process. But that one monkey knows how to stop them, and he takes out all of the killers there because he just picks up guns and starts killing them, and then he takes the world on a quest for revenge,
and he goes and just kills like he's off to kill assassins,
I guess. That's the origin story of Hitmonkey.
That's so funny.
That's gonna be a TV show now, guys.
Universe we live in. Yeah.
And then if that wasn't all fun enough, we are going to get that's all going to come together in one TV special. I imagine like a TV movie, probably like a 2-hour thing.
Yeah, that's what I got the impression.
The Offenders.
Yes.
And this is not The Offenders from, because there's a comic book Offenders, which is like Grandmaster and Collector like having some kind of fight, and like I think it was, I forget which way it was, I think it was Grandmaster who chose the Defenders as his team,
right?
So
and it was like Red Hulk versus Hulk, is that the
yeah,
one
yeah exactly. And so I think, or was it, I think it was it the Collector that had the Defenders, and then the Grandmaster had formed the Offenders, which is basically just everybody's like counterpart villain. So you had like the Red Hulk, you had I forget who was against Doctor Strange. Because it was the Silver Surfer, and you had
cool. Yeah. Oh gosh, who was it against? People Dr. on the Strange other side of him.
Baron Mordo. It was Baron Mordo against Doctor Strange, and then you had Namor the Submariner on the Defenders. So you had like his big bad on the other side. Something with shark. Either way, all of that is irrelevant to this Offenders,
yes,
which will team up in some form: MODOK, Hitmonkey, Tigra, Dazzler, and Howard the Duck.
Thank God.
And that's just from the title characters. Who yeah. knows what other characters are going to pop up in these character shows? Because it's animated, it's not in the Marvel Cinematic Universe proper, which gives them reign to do anything.
Right. They can do any storyline. They can do storylines that get erased. They can do storylines that don't intersect with anything.
Well, it's like use characters. You could do, like, one of the things that I loved about during Zdarsky's Howard the Duck run is that he was able to interact with all these other characters. Like, his office, I think I said this before, but his office was next to She-Hulk.
Do they work together ever?
Yes, exactly.
Oh, that's amazing.
Because she's a lawyer and he's a private eye. Like, they work together. Yeah. It's just a natural thing. So when you have Jen needs information for a case that she's working on, she hires Howard to do it.
That's awesome.
I want to see that. Like, one week I want her to walk in and just be like, and like pound on the desk and be like, Howard, I need you. And when he's like, I'm not doing that. All of a sudden she just lifts his desk up with one finger and is like, I have a client that needs your help. Okay.
And you're able to have like a very funny She-Hulk as well, because I mean, there's a great John Byrne run of She-Hulk from the 80s, which was like where she was in a comic. It was like constantly breaking the fourth wall. It was like it was almost comedic. So it's a character who you don't have to take that seriously, because I mean, her name is She-Hulk. So she has a great history as an Avenger, as a member of the Fantastic Four. But if they were able to incorporate her, I definitely agree that I think her and Howard would actually be a great team up.
Yeah, well, the Charles Soule run, Soule, I don't know how to pronounce the last name, of She-Hulk was also very funny. That was from 2014, I want to say. And I just confirmed it on my screen. But from 2014, that's also a great run. It's very funny. It's very, like, it's the fun part of, like, a superhero lawyer. And, like, it's very Ally McBeal. Which is the series that, like, honestly, is I've always said is my dream series to write, if you're listening, Marvel.
She-Hulk has Ally McBeal?
Is the Ally McBeal She-Hulk series.
Dancing baby and all.
We can skip the dancing baby in favor of a dancing Howard the Duck.
Yes, absolutely. Perfect.
But just, I mean that, like, single female lawyer... It's She-Hulk.
She-Hulk.
Yeah.
I actually like that. Written as kind of like a sitcom.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Like, probably an hour long, because, like, you still have, like, superheroics and stuff like that. But, like, funny, like, silly, but, like, still dealing with, like, relationships and things.
Having to date and also fight crime at night and be a lawyer during the day.
Yeah, how can one person have all of that? It's impossible. But if anyone can...
It's She-Hulk. Actually, yeah, write that. That sounds awesome.
I want to. awesome. I don't have the rights to Jennifer Walters' story.
Darn it.
And somebody in the chat brought this up. It went away, so I'm actually not sure. But does Universal have the rights to She-Hulk because they have the right to Hulk movies? And this is an animated series, so that might be different.
The animated series is a completely different thing, because they have done She-Hulk on an animated show a few years ago when they did Agents of Smash.
Oh, I've seen that. Yes. Forgot about it. I wasn't really a fan, but I checked it out.
Television is a separate licensing right, because remember, they were going to do Guillermo del Toro's Hulk show a few years ago.
I would watch.
That
would
have been great.
It's not happening, but it was in development for a little while. The short answer, yes. Disney would still have the rights for a television version, especially an animated version of She-Hulk.
Got it.
Whether they can do a big screen version of or not, I actually don't know the answer to that question. It's a little bit muddled with all of the rights decisions and, like, how do you define the Hulk list of characters, and it's still muddy. I'm sure that if they really wanted to, they could figure it out. But in lieu of that, we're getting Howard the Duck, and I hope that we can get other characters to pop up in there. So this is going to be a lot of fun. I'm really excited. Like, tell us in the chat, like, which one of these shows you think would be your favorite. Like, which one of these are you looking forward to the most? I want to know. I can see Zia's deep in thought on which one.
I am. It's either Howard the Duck or the Dazzler and Tigra show.
Yeah, it's funny because I'm exactly the same place. Like, look, MODOK's going to be good, and Hitmonkey's a fascinating idea that I don't know that much about. But I just like the Dazzler character, and I love Howard the Duck. Just the idea for people to appreciate Howard the Duck, it probably edges it out a little bit, but I do love Dazzler. So those two are definitely right at the top for me.
Nice.
Yeah. Okay. Real quick, let's talk about the Netflix series again. We touched on this, but I want to, like, just get into it just a little bit more. So Hulu has said that they are open to reviving Netflix's canceled shows, meaning Daredevil, Luke Cage, Iron Fist, presumably Jessica Jones and The Punisher.
And The Defenders.
And I was going to say, honestly, I would love to see The Defenders. Even though there's so many other storylines they could do with all of those characters, because there's been comics written about them for literally for so many. I still think it'd be really fun to see more of the Defenders because we only got one season of that and it was short. And I love seeing them all work together. I think that that'd be really cool if they revived nothing else. I would be cool if they just did that.
Well, I think if they were going to do any kind of revival, like say just in a dream world where we all get it happily ever after, they decide to do all those shows for Hulu, that'd be a great way to sort of kick it off is with another Defenders. And then you go into the individual stories.
Yeah. And to be clear, like, when this is the Hulu senior vice president of original content,
yeah,
was the one saying, and he never said like, oh, we're doing that, yeah, or we absolutely want to do it. It was like, we have a good relationship with Marvel, we just announced this new deal, like that's going to be our top priority. That means that this gives them 5 Marvel shows that are airing like natively on the Hulu platform, because you also have the Runaways. Right. Clearly they have a relationship with Marvel and with Disney. That relationship is going to become much more extreme in a couple months.
Oh, yeah.
So it's natural that, like, these shows... I mean, we've been talking about this for months. Hulu is a place that makes sense for all of these shows to go in one form or another.
Yeah.
And that's really it. That's the news for this week. But as I said, I want to make sure that we have time to answer some questions. So, Christian, has anybody sent in some questions for us?
Well, people are sort of responding to some of the specific things that we're talking about. Because I had... oh, by the way, Coy was in the chat and said hello to...
Coy!
Said, congrats. Zach's killing it. And he also said that, you know, that we are doing well as well. But he was really focused at you.
Thank you.
He was like, Zach and everybody, because he doesn't know us. That's fine.
I was going to say, I don't know who this person
yeah,
is.
Like, he was on the show until not that long
everyone.
Ago. Yeah. So let's see. Let me just start with this one. Aaron Johnson says, I like the Howard the Duck idea, but it should be a PG tone. I think we all agree with that. So it appeals to everyone. Oh, okay, well, I guess maybe we don't agree with that. But it's kind of like a direct reboot of the Lucasfilm, but focusing on Howard and Beverly. I don't know that I need that. I think PG-13 is the sweet spot for Howard the Duck. Like, R-rated, I would love it, but I can see them deciding, like, we don't need an R-rated Howard the Duck. Let's just have it be a little bit gritty. Let's have it be funny. I mean, like, have it be the sensibility of, like, a South Park or a Family Guy, you know?
Yeah, see, yeah.
I think that that's perfect.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Sorry. Here's the thing that I will say, like, when we say adult does not necessarily have to mean R-rated.
No.
It's just about, like, what are the things that you're going to be talking about.
Right,
like,
the tones of the show and the themes.
Yeah, are you just stopping bad guys from robbing a bank, or are you dealing with, like, Howard getting into a relationship? Now, with
Sexual
Howard the Duck,
innuendos.
I kind of want him to... I, that's the thing. Howard the Duck... I think needs to have sexual innuendos.
Of course.
Yes.
And that how explicit those are is a fine line there. But I do think at the heart of the character, he is an adult character.
Yeah, he doesn't need to use the F word left and right. I don't, like, if he does, that'll be funny, but I don't think I need that. You know, I think if they feel like they can reach a wider audience, if it's, you know, adult themes, I'm perfectly okay with that. Just some other things that people are talking about in the chat, though, and Zia called my attention to this. Joshua Wright says, I want a Dazzler rock opera.
I 100% agree. I mean, that'd be so cool.
I definitely would like a rock opera, but honestly, if you think about Dazzler's music, it would sound a lot more like Mamma Mia.
No, but she did rock, too.
A little later.
But she still did it.
When she cut her hair and put on the blue outfit, absolutely.
I'm into it.
But back to the Hulu shows. The Gamer Girl says, I, too, hope for PG-13 because... she's sensitive and can't handle most R-rated stuff. So that's something legitimate to take into consideration.
Yeah.
Some people don't want that, you know?
Yeah. I don't think you're going to get, if there's concern, I don't think you're going to get a violence R.
No.
Yeah, like, not
that's
like,
what
I don't
I'm
think
thinking.
What any of these shows are going to be a violence R. I don't think it's animated. Like, you're not going to get, but you're not going to have Fountains of Blood or Quentin Tarantino style.
It's not
going to
be the
R.
Spawn animated series,
like,
from HBO.
South Park South Park might even be a little more extreme because they do tend to do that, like, kind of graphic stuff. It's
they
just going to be in that, like, it's for adults. It gets into those, like, those more, like, it's not just going to be like kid-friendly simple storylines.
It's going to be themes, I think, in language what does it,
like, probably look more like a something like Futurama for tone.
Yeah, there you
like
go.
Futurama is an adult cartoon. It doesn't get into that R-rated territory, but it's very PG-13 because it does talk about sex. It has characters that are not nude on, like, in terms of, like, nudity, but they are naked on screen, kind of things like that. Stuff you wouldn't see in a kid's cartoon.
Entree Humane, talking about the Netflix shows ending up on Hulu, says, do a Defenders show that does three episode arcs where different heroes overlap a little bit. So instead of having all of them telling the same story, you can sort of have them cross paths. You're sort of like the Marvel team-up comics, you know, where it's like, oh, this week, this issue, it's Spider-Man and Ms. Marvel, and then Spider-Man's still going after the same bad guy, but then it's, you know, Spider-Man and Iron Fist, you know? So it's like you can have sort of a story that goes through and you just run into people. And then Eon 001 says, I want a Defenders anthology show. Each episode focuses on a different character. I think if you got that, you might as well, you know, order like five new shows. You know, yeah. I think just get the whole shows for them. But, you know, maybe put your toe in the water and do like a Defenders anthology show, which I could certainly understand.
They all
know,
come together at the end.
Yeah, type of thing. I could see that too.
Yeah, I know talking about the rights, I saw in the chat from DuckTales News, they asked, does Disney own Spider-Woman? And Sony has the rights to Spider-Woman. She falls in line with the Spider characters.
Got it.
They are going to be using her in Spider-Verse, the Spider-Verse spinoff.
And they're using multiple, because there's several different Spider-Man. So there's Jessica Drew,
I'm
70s.
Pretty sure when they ask about Spider-Woman, they're specifically asking about Jessica Drew.
Right, sure.
Okay.
And so Jessica Drew is going to be in the Spider-Verse, Spider-Gwen spinoff.
Great.
That's
already been announced. Like, that movie's going to focus on Gwen Stacy, Spider-Woman, Silk, Cindy Moon, and Jessica Drew, Spider-Woman, which what universe she comes from and like all that still to be determined. But so Sony does have the rights to Spider-Woman. So I don't think that Disney would be able to do an MCU version of it, of that character. She does fall into the Sony sort of part of that universe. But if they, I mean, obviously they're working together. So if Disney really wanted Jessica Drew, I'm sure that they could work it out with the Spider-Man deal.
In terms of, we were asking people which shows they're most excited about. Senor Nerd likes Howard the Duck, then MODOK. Eon 001 again. Hit Monkey, then Howard the Duck. Don't care about the others. Well, that you'll be all right. I think the Offenders will probably take you into consideration. And Gamer Girl says it's MODOK. I've loved him in the comics and the animated stuff and the video games he's been in. I mean, if you just visually were to look at all these characters, I think you'd be drawn to, like, who is the giant head guy?
I think it was Gamer Girl in the chat who said it's going to be Pinky in the Brain.
Oh my God.
Where he's still a villain, but he's like every week trying to like take over the world and failing.
That would be so great.
Can you imagine? What are we doing today? what are we doing today, MODOK? The same thing we do every day. who do you who would he be with? What's his name? The Leaper.
Oh, Batroc the Leaper?
Batroc. I imagine Batroc.
Yeah, he would be perfect for any series with a comedic slant. Batroc the Leaper would be perfect.
What are we going to do today, Batroc? The same thing we do. I want to see it. Another question from DuckTales News that was from us on Twitter. Do you think Disney will do a Hulk TV series? And do we think that Marvel, Netflix, could bring back Agent Carter? I saw that question and, like, you're going right to my heart with Agent Carter just by saying the words out loud. But the Hulk TV series, no.
Live action, that's all tied up in Universal.
I don't think you're
going to
get any
that.
Version of it. Disney, I think, is going to be keep their main team, like the Avengers team, is going to be, unless we were to lose Hulk in Endgame, I don't think we're going to see a Hulk TV series.
I think even if Bruce Banner were to somehow stay dead at the end of Endgame, I think a Hulk character would certainly crop up at some point, though.
Yes. Yeah. Although, to be fair, they're asking about Disney Plus.
Yeah.
They're doing MCU stories, but I think they've been resistant to having Bruce Banner off on his own. From what I've heard in the past, like they're nervous about him. Like, that's why they haven't done a Hulk movie, not just because of the Universal thing, but because they don't really, I don't know. I think that they think of Hulk, they think of Bruce Banner as a less is more type of character.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Plus, I mean, we had three seasons in the 70s of Bill Bixby as the Hulk. What else do you need? That's plenty.
But I would love to see Hulk versus Red Hulk. I would love to see that. Absolutely.
Cool.
Like with Mark Ruffalo and what's his name that plays plays him in the movies right now, because he's still running around.
Who plays
Colonel plays General
General Talbot?
Not Talbot, but he's in Civil War, and then we saw him briefly in Infinity War. What's the actor's name? Thunderbolt Ross. I was looking for the actor's name.
The guy with the mustache, but I am definitely blanking on it.
Yeah. It's William Hurt.
Oh yeah. Sorry, you're a great actor. I just forgot your name.
Yeah. William Hurt is Thunderbolt Ross, like against Mark Ruffalo's Hulk, which they haven't really interacted yet.
No.
At all.
No, Ed Norton interacted.
But we haven't seen Thunderbolt Ross meet Mark Ruffalo's Hulk, and if we could do a whole arc where he's Red Hulk,
that would make a good movie.
Yeah,
I'd watch that movie.
Or
for
it could
sure.
be a good 4-part miniseries. But the problem with that is budgets.
Definitely
a
budgets.
Anything Hulk is going to be major, major budget. Okay, that's going to unfortunately run us out of time. Oh, Agent Carter. They're pretty much not going to happen at this point.
I'll be happy if they decide to do like an Agent Carter like TV movie.
Yes,
like,
I would love if they could do a TV movie to wrap it up.
Just one more story with Peggy.
But
that's
everything
all,
that I've read is it's just not going to happen.
I think you're right.
Guys, thank you so much for joining us this week on Marvel Movie News. We will be back every week, and we're going to try to be taking your questions like this at least a couple every week so that we can make sure that you guys get answer what you want to talk about. So keep sending in your questions to us, especially on Thursdays, because that's when it's easiest to track, and we'll figure out a way to like maybe keep track of all of them throughout the week. But so we'll stay tuned for that. Until next week, Christian, why don't you tell people where they can find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at ChristianDMZ, and Zia and I on Sunday night over on our sister network AfterBuzz TV at 9 p.m. Pacific. We will talk about a lot of these same things, but we're going to spend a little bit more time telling you about each of these characters. And boy, do I have to read a lot about Hitmonkey. But we will do that on Sunday night.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Zia_land. It's XIA_land.
I'm Zach Wilson. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at ThatZachWilson. You can also catch me on my other podcast where we talk about ridiculous ships. So if it's Valentine's Day and you're looking for something romantic to talk about, maybe you want to know what happens when Hawk, because this week's was what happens when Hawkeye dates Cupid. As in the mythological being Cupid. And we basically came up with a whole thing where post-Infinity War, they need to repopulate the Earth. So Cupid enlists Hawkeye to help him shoot arrows at people and get them going. Check that out on iTunes and Spotify and all the places. Ships in the Night. Until next week, guys, this has been Marvel Movie News. Thanks for geeking out with us.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.